It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Crime coming up in this hour from two famous programs. Later on, it's Gangbusters, but right now, the FBI in Peace and War. The CBS episode first heard on the 14th of September, 1950. It's called The Crack-Up.
The FBI in Peace and War, brought to you by Lava Soap. Nothing on earth cleans dirty hands faster, cleaner, yet more gently than amazing Lava Soap. That's L-A-V-A.
L-A-V-A, 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 L-A-V-A.
Now another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Crack-Up.
Who's that? Stay where you are. Don't move or I'll shoot.
Joe Harry. Brought you a cup of coffee.
Oh, you. Why didn't you say so? Why do you have to creep up on a guy like that? What time is it?
10:30, Joe. Want me to pull up the shades? Nice morning.
Never mind the shades. Just give me the coffee.
Here you are.
All right, I said give it to me.
Your hand's shaking.
Nothing's shaking. Give me the coffee. What are you standing there for? Beat it. Go on, get out of here.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know. He must have thought I was a cop or something.
Uh-huh.
Nicky was shaking like a leaf. He couldn't hardly hold a coffee cup.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like it. I never saw him like this before.
You didn't look close. He was that way before we pulled this job. That's why we lost it up.
Oh, no, Nick, I don't think...
That's why we lost up the job, I'm telling you.
It was just bad luck.
Bad luck, nothing. He was supposed to lay out a getaway, wasn't he? You thought he had it all fixed. Stella thought so. Charlie Lopez thought so. His memory's slipping, that's what. He doesn't think about anything but himself. Want to play a hand of gin?
No, thanks. I think I'll...
You had that radio on 2 minutes ago. Let it alone.
Well, I thought maybe...
Will you stop jumping? You're getting as bad as him.
I'm sorry. I only thought...
Well, don't. Charlie and Stella will get here all right.
It's been 48 hours, Nick.
All right, all right. They got to lay low, that's all. The cops are watching all of these back roads. They'll turn up.
All right.
Sit down. Read the comics or something.
Don't feel like reading. Nick, you think he'll snap out of this?
No.
But maybe if he laid off the bottle like
he
said...
He hasn't touched a drink in 6 months. He just tells you he's been drinking to cover up that shaker.
Yeah, but maybe...
He's slipping, Harry. I've been watching him a long time. His nerve is shot. He doesn't think straight anymore.
Well, what... What are we going to do about it, Nick?
I don't know. We'll wait till Charlie and Stella get here.
Think we ought to call Doc Carson?
A doc couldn't fix what Joe's got. Nobody could fix that. We'll wait till Charlie and Stella get here. Then we'll figure out what to do.
Immediate. FBI requests continuation of search parties, wooded areas, vicinity of Hartsdale. Hold-up mob believes separated after abandonment of getaway car. Repeat description of four men, one woman as follows.
Yeah, who is it?
Open up, Harry. It's me and Stella. Harry, it's me, Charlie Lopez, up in Creek.
Then what happened, Charlie?
Well, after we see the state troopers car pull up in the yard, we duck out of the barn plenty fast.
Want a drink, Stella?
Yeah, I could use one.
And?
And after that, we stay in the woods all the time.
Don't ask him how we got here. We don't know.
No road map, nothing to eat. Every town loaded with state troopers. Believe me, this time yesterday, I figure us two very dead pigeons. If it hadn't been for Stella's got a bar of chocolate in her purse.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, Stella. I see you two made it, all right.
Yeah, we made it, Joe. No thanks to you.
Harry, take Stella out in the kitchen, fix her some coffee. She looks kind of beat.
Never mind the coffee. I'll drink this.
That stuff's no good for you. Did you get rid of the uniforms like I told you, Charlie?
No, I gave them to a couple of hungry cops.
I'm asking an important question, Charlie.
Who are you to ask anybody questions? You got to know that.
You got rid of the uniforms.
Let go of me, Joe. I don't want trouble. Let go, Joe.
Joe.
Go on, answer him, Charlie.
Yeah, we got rid of the uniforms.
Okay. As soon as the heat dies down, I'll get in touch with Sid Gordman. We'll get out of this place. The way I figure...
Maybe we had enough of your kind of figuring, Joe.
Charlie.
Lay off, will you, Charlie?
No, let him go ahead. Say your piece, Charlie.
Pour the drink, will you, Nick?
Say it, Charlie.
Ah, forget it.
I'm running this organization. I'm giving the orders. Nobody works with me is going to beat behind my back. That goes for all of you. All right, Charlie, speak up.
I'm tired, Joe. I got to get a long sleep. Then we'll talk.
All right. Anybody else got anything to say? Well, bring me what's left in that bottle, Harry. I'll be in my room.
Hey, you see him? He was shaking all over.
Yeah, we see him.
It's getting worse, huh, Nick?
Every day.
You oughtn't to talk back to him, Charlie. It just stirs him up.
Does, huh?
Sure. You keep that up and someday...
It comes to a showdown.
It could.
Okay. Maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe we need a new kind of brains to get us out of here. Maybe a showdown is a very good idea in a spot like this.
Troop K, State Police, Chief Palmer speaking.
Chief, Stevenson Kovac reporting in. We're calling from the Hartsdale Drugstore. A couple of kids down here just found three bank guards uniforms under a culvert on the Lime Hill Passway.
Okay, Stevens, you and Kovac, come on in. Three uniforms, huh?
Yeah.
Now, come in right away. And good work, Stevens. This looks real hot. Yeah? Oh, come in, Stevens. Just want to ask you one more question on those bank guard uniforms. You've met Agent Shepard and Agent Bailey of the FBI.
Oh, yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Shepard, Mr. Bailey. How's it going?
Still knocking our brains out, Sergeant.
Tough case, all right.
You're telling us.
Sergeant.
Yeah, Chief?
We've all looked over the uniforms, and we're sure they were the ones used in the holdup. What we want now is the exact spot they were found. You mark it for us on this map?
Yes, sir. Now, let's see. It's this spot here, and the river goes under the passway. Mm-hmm. Kids were playing around the bridge here, and they found the uniforms underneath.
Okay, Stevens, that's all we wanted to know. Thanks a lot.
Sure thing, Chief. I guess we'll be seeing you gentlemen around a while.
We're afraid so, Sergeant.
Well, I'll be in the squad room if you need me, Chief.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Shepard. There's your spot. Now, how do you want to move from here?
Well, let's look at it this way, Chief. They abandoned their car at this point on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Now, as far as we know, they didn't commandeer another car.
Yeah.
I think it's a safe guess that they split up at this point, since five of them would obviously be conspicuous.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we find the uniforms in this location 48 hours later. If our net hasn't any holes in it, they're still within this area here. All right. We've checked every restaurant, every bar, every hotel. We've checked grocery stores. If they're still out in the woods, they're pretty hungry by now. But if they're not in the woods, we might assume for the moment that they have a prearranged hideout somewhere in this 30-mile circle. If there were such a hideout, it might explain how...
Here's the way I work it out on this map. This map. Sid Gorman comes up here with the funeral coach. Cops never look inside a funeral coach. Charlie, where you going?
You better take five, Joe. You're not making much sense.
Sit down, Charlie.
Coming, Nick.
Yeah. Relax a couple of minutes, Joe. You're knocking yourself out.
Charlie.
Yeah?
You don't like my idea.
Joe, that funeral coach routine was hot stuff back in 1929. Cops are smarter now. You got to do better than that, Joe. Much better. Come on.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm listening.
At last, that two-bit blowhard. I picked him out of the gut and taught him every trick
he
knows.
Forget it, Joe. Here. I'll finish the match.
Crummy little punk. As soon as we get to Kansas City, I'm going to have him straightened out for good. I got connections in Kansas
City. Joe, we're not going to Kansas City.
Huh?
Kansas City was 5 years ago, remember?
Who said anything about Kansas City? What I meant was...
What's the matter, Joe?
Not at all. I got a kind of neuralgia in my head. A couple of aspirins, I'll be all right.
Well, here, let me see if
Don't go for a minute, Sal. My head's going round. Give me your hands now, quick.
Joe, let
Just give me a hand, will you? I'll be all right in a minute. Still.
Okay, Joe, okay.
Just a minute. I'll be all right.
Look, I'll get...
It's clear enough. Just a second. It'll go. Just a second, Star. A little neuralgia. That's all. The doc says... He says nothing happens to lots of guys my age. Yeah, I'm all right.
Sure you are, Joe. But maybe I better just get there.
You're still working on the map, Joe. Maybe I...
Beat it, hurry. I'm talking with Stella. Go on, beat it.
Huh?
Get out and talk with Stella.
Yeah, sure, Joe. You call me when you're ready, huh?
Yeah, I'll call you. Stella.
Yeah.
Stella, I wouldn't want the rest of them to know about this neuralgia. Mm. See, they need me, Stella. I wouldn't want them to get any wrong ideas, you know what I mean? Stella?
Yes, Joe. Yes, I know.
They depend on me, Stella. If they thought...
You don't have to explain it, Joe. I know exactly what you mean.
Back to the crack up in just a moment, but first, listen.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
That's Lava, the amazing super speed soap for dirty hands. In 30 to 50 seconds, Lava gets the dirt that ordinary wash-ups miss. Of all leading soaps, only Lava has this unique double action. Get Lava soap tomorrow. Remember,
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
Now back to the FBI in Peace and War, and tonight's story, The Crack-Up.
Stella?
Yeah?
I wouldn't want the rest of them to know about this neuralgia. They need me, Stella. I wouldn't want them to get any wrong ideas.
Well, that's what the man says he's got.
I'll tell you what he's got. You want another drink, Nick?
Yeah, a short one.
A yellow streak, that's what. Right up the middle of his back. Soda?
Mm-mm.
You're crazy, Charlie. Just because the guy's a little sick, you...
Sick? Was he sick on the Richfield job? How about that time in L.A.? He was sick then, too?
Listen...
He's through, Harry. Why kid yourself? You said baby would come to a showdown. I say this is the time.
No.
What?
I mean... Well, you know what Joe's like. A thing like this, it could kill him.
What's the matter with you, Harry? You going soft in the head? What'll it be? Him or the lot of us getting out of here with whole skin?
Yeah, I know, but...
What? You heard his plan. If we ever tried to leave this place in a funeral coach, we'd be needing one ourselves. And I say we settle this thing once and for all.
Well, maybe Nick and Stella feel a little different about that.
So maybe you better ask them and find out. Go on. Ask.
Nick?
Charlie's right, Harry. You can't argue with
it. Of course you can't.
Stella, what about you? Joe picked you up out of the gutter and...
I'm Charlie. Joe's through like he said.
He's been through for a long time, kid, only he didn't know it.
He's cracking up. We can't take a chance with him anymore. What's the matter now?
Nothing.
Harry!
It's nothing, I tell you.
Leave him alone, Charlie.
Everyone says Joe's through, he's through.
Just show us how we're going to get out of here, Charlie.
Okay. Put up a chair, all of you. I'll show you how.
Adams Gooseridge.
Look, this is Chief Palmer.
Hello, Chief. What can I do for you?
Look, I just sent two FBI agents over to your store. They'll be there any minute. I want to talk to you about that hoarder you reported out at the Wilson farm. Give them any help you can, will you?
FBI, huh? Be glad to, Chief. Yes, sir. Be real glad.
Well, we're very grateful to you, Mr. Adams.
Not at all, son. Why, when Chief Palmer told me you was from the FBI, said I'd help him. Be glad to do it. You fellas hungry, maybe? Got some ripe store cheese here.
Thanks, Mr. Adams. We'd just like to ask you one or two questions about that report of yours on the Wilson farm.
Well, yeah, you go right ahead and ask. I'll tell you, I had plenty of experiences with this sort of thing 8 years ago. Folks used to come here to the store, buy up everything in sight. So naturally, when the same thing began to happen again last couple of weeks, I put two and two together. And you know what I figured the answer to be?
Mr. Adams.
Hoarding. Yes, sir, that's what I figured. Everybody knows there's only one person living out the Wilson farm. Why should I get orders that'd feed five or six?
Well,
I'll tell you why. Hoarding. Hoarding it is. And hoarding is what I reported to the chief. Though I do say I never expected such quick results out of Washington.
This hoarding, Mr. Adams, that's what we want to ask you about.
Well, go right ahead and ask. I tell you, if it's left up to
Mr.
me...
Mr. Adams.
Huh?
We don't believe that it's hoarding, Mr. Adams.
You don't? Son... How long you been with the FBI?
12 years.
12 years. One person out the farm, enough orders to feed five or six scarce items. Butter, sugar, coffee. Well, that hoarding or ain't it?
We don't believe so.
Oh, by golly, I'm glad we got law and order of our own around here.
Mr. Adams.
Uh-huh?
We believe it's the Joe Norton gang.
The Norton gang?
The boys that held up the First National Bank.
Oh, them. You fellas sure like to take a shot in the dark, don't you?
Sometimes. How do we get out there, Mr. Adams?
The Wilson place?
Uh-huh.
Be glad to tell you. But all you're going to find there is one little hoarder.
Maybe, but we'll go anyhow. As you say, we fellas like to take a shot in the dark.
Okay, Harry, let's take a look at that target, huh?
Joe, listen.
My hand was steady, wasn't it? Didn't shake, did it? Look at that. Look at it. Three of them right through the middle. Is that shooting?
Joe.
Steady as a rock, that's what. I'm just as good as I ever was.
Joe, huh? Will you, for the love of Mike, stop talking and listen.
Huh? Oh, sure. Sure, Harry, I'm listening.
Joe, it's about Charlie Lopez. Any others got together last
Lopez,
night?
Lopez, I taught him every trick he knows.
Joe.
What? What, Harry?
I want you to listen to me, Joe. I want you to listen careful.
Yeah, I'm listening, Harry.
They're going to leave you here, Joe. Charlie Lopez and the others.
That Lopez. Now, I'm going to have him straightened out as soon as we get to Kansas.
Joe, you're not getting any place. Don't you understand? They're going to leave you.
What? What's that?
I had to tell you, Joe. I just had to.
Leave me? Who's going to leave me?
You're lying.
No,
yeah,
Joe.
Nobody's leaving me unless I say so.
Nobody.
It's the truth, Joe. I swear I wish it wasn't.
You're lying. You're trying to trick me. They sent you up here.
Joe! Ah. Oh, what's the matter?
Nothing.
You're sick, Joe.
It's nothing, I tell you. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Oh, what are you standing here for? Get out.
Joe.
Get out! Harry?
Yeah?
Don't go, Harry.
Sure, Joe.
This neuralgia is killing me, Harry.
I know.
You're a good friend. I always knew it.
Go upstairs. Try to get some rest, Joe. Sleep a little.
No, Harry, listen.
Yeah.
Harry, what are they going to do to me? They're going to get rid of me, aren't they?
That Lopez, he hates me.
No,
that
Joe.
That fella, too, and after all I've been to her.
Joe.
You won't let them know, will you? Not you, Harry. You're my friend.
Joe, they're not going to do anything. They're leaving you here, that's all, with your share of the split.
Nobody's leaving me, Harry. Not alive, they're not.
What?
Nobody is. I'm the brains of this outfit. Nobody walks out on big jokes.
Stop talking that way.
I mean it, Harry. You'll see if I don't. Anybody wants to walk out, they can try it. I'll let them leave, Harry. I'll let them leave with a belly full of holes. You'll see if I don't.
Hello, Shep.
Hello, Frank. Anybody try to leave the house yet?
Not yet.
Your men all ready?
Uh-huh. The place is covered from every angle.
What about Chief Palmer?
Picked him up on the radio phone. He should be here any minute.
Good. We'll wait.
And when he gets here?
I don't know yet, Frank. We could answer that a lot better if we only knew what was going on inside that house.
Okay, I'll say it the last time so everybody gets it straight. As soon as it's dark, Nick gets out of the car and drives over to Nate Weaver's. At Nate's, he arranges for the false bottom truck. Nate can drive it himself. He's clean. Soon's the truck back here, we pile in the bottom, and all Nate has to do is to cross the state line. Everybody got that straight?
Yeah, I got
it. Okay.
Harry, you got it?
Yeah, Charlie, I got it.
Okay. Soon as it's dark, we get started. Stella, go on up, bring Joe down here. We all want to say goodbye. And here's your share of the split, Joe. Spend it carefully, it should last you. Anything I left out?
Nothing, Charlie, except maybe so long.
Yeah. Bye, Joe.
Nothing else? Okay. Stella, get Harry. Tell him we're ready.
You stay here, Stella. Stay here. Charlie,
you know what you can do with this split? Keep away from me, Joe.
I'll tell you, Charlie. Here's what you can do with it.
Joe. I'm running this organization. I'm giving the orders. You get that? Me, Joe Norton.
Take your hands off me, Joe. I told you I don't want trouble.
Nobody walks out on me. That goes for all of you.
Take your hands off me. Joe,
I'm warning you. Lay one finger on me again and I'm going to kill you.
What?
I mean it, Joe.
Hey, Charlie, come off it. What's the idea of talking that way?
I'm warning you, that's all.
Nick, you're going to let him talk that way. Nick? Stella? Oh, what's the matter with you two?
You're through, Joe. We don't want any part of you.
Nick? Nicky boy.
Dry up, Joe.
Charlie, take me with you.
No.
Let me go with you, Charlie. The cops will get me sure if I stay around here. I'm sick, Charlie. Charlie, you got to take me with you.
We're wasting time, Charlie.
Oh, you got to. You can't leave me here.
Why not? You know how to take care of yourself. You told us so often enough.
All right.
All right, go. All of you, go on. See how far you get with Lopez.
Charlie.
Go on, go. He'll have you 6 feet under and nothing flat.
Joe, Charlie.
You keep out of this, Harry.
The cops are outside, Joe.
What?
Cops, they're crawling all over the place.
Harry, if this is a joke...
I'm telling you, Charlie, go see for yourself.
Charlie?
They're out there, all right.
Oh, no.
A whole squad of the baby boy.
What'll we do, Charlie?
I don't know. Let me think.
We gotta get out of here.
I said let me think.
Sure, let him use that two-bit brain.
Shut up.
What's there to think about? Yeah, we'll shoot our way out.
Charlie.
We don't need a thinker now. We need a leader, right, Stealth? Someone would
just... Joe Norton.
Huh? What?
All of you in there. The house is entirely surrounded. This is an FBI agent speaking.
FBI?
I told you, Charlie.
Shut up.
You have exactly 1 minute before we open fire. Come out with your hands up.
Charlie.
What do we do?
He'll tell you. Blowhard will tell you. Just let him think.
Shut up! Shut up!
1 minute, all of you.
Charlie!
What will we do? What can we do? They got us coming and going.
What?
We're going out, Charlie.
You got any better ideas?
You yellow punk, you bet we have. We're going to shoot our way out.
Listen,
since
you...
when were a few lousy cops scare the Norton gang? We'll shoot our way out. That's what we're going to do.
Forget it, Joe. That's the FBI out
there. We can do it. Hey, Nick, no cop's going to stop us.
Joe.
Nobody can stop us. We'll show them. It'll be like old times. Stella, you take that window. Nick, the door.
Stop him, Charlie.
I'll get you out of this. Don't you worry me. Joe Norton.
Come on. Everybody take your post. Harry, Charlie, remember how it was in Little Rock? Stella, remember? We'll do it again. I'll fix it. I'll
30
get you
30 seconds, Norton.
You keep quiet. I kept the orders around here.
Come on.
Stay where you are, Joe.
What?
Don't move, Joe. Don't move or I'll drop you, so help me.
What? Oh, we got to get to him, Charlie. Yeah, we can take him. Come on, we can... Ah. Charlie.
All of you, this is your last warning. Are you coming up?
All right. Don't shoot. We're coming out.
The surrender of the Joe Norton gang put an end to one of the most daring holdup mobs in the FBI files. On recovery from the gunshot wound inflicted by Charlie Lopez, Norton was placed in a mental hospital suffering a complete breakdown. Lopez and the other members of the gang stood trial and were sentenced to long terms in prison. With the individual disposition of their cases, the books were closed on a getaway that failed because of the crackup.
Characters used in this partly transcribed program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and is not an official program of the FBI. In tonight's story, Larry Haynes played the part of Joe Norton. Joe DeSantis was Charlie Lopez. The radio dramatizations for The FBI in Peace and War were written by Louis Pelletier and Jack Fink, with music under the supervision of Vladimir Selinsky. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. And now this is Len Sterling saying goodnight for Lava Soap. That's L-A-V-A.
L-A-V-A, 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 L-A-V-A.
White washes without red hands, the swing is back to does.
Yes, for white washes without red hands, I'm going back to does.
How about you? Are your hands suffering from one of those no-rinse chemicals on wash day? Then change to does. See what it means to get white washes without red hands.
Does can promise this because only does, of all leading wash day products, contains such great quantities of rich, real soap. Combined with two active detergents.
That's why Dove gets clothes so beautifully white and clean, while it gives extra safety to colors and wonderful mildness on hands.
This program is transcribed.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The FBI in Peace and War on Tuned to Yesterday from September 14, 1950 on CBS. That show kicked off CBS's primetime Thursday night at 8 o'clock and was the second most listened to crime show on the air. About 18.2 million people tuned into that broadcast. The first place leader of the pack was Nick Carter, Master Detective. You're listening to an hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now an episode of Gangbusters. Could be a repeat, we're not sure, according to history, but the date indicates it was on the air in rerun form about 3 years after the cancellation of the series. This from November 9th, 1958, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Now, in cooperation with the leading law enforcement agencies throughout the United States, Gangbusters, presented over the coast-to-coast facilities of the Mutual Broadcasting System by the Kraft Foods Company.
to bring you that very special cheese, Cracker Barrel brand, Natural Cheddar. X-Lax, America's largest selling laxative, and Hudson Vitamin products for money-saving vitamin use right for the free Hudson Vitamin catalog. Our proxy narrator for this evening's case is Detective Sergeant Dolan.
Good evening. This is Detective Sergeant Dolan, retired. Tonight I have a story about an unsolved murder case and a missing persons case. One, who murdered Harry Brockton, was a case that had been unsolved for, let me see, it's not so long ago, about 5 years, I guess. But what happened to Wilton Denman had been an unsolved mystery for almost 40 years. It was because they were going to tear down the old Continental Hotel that these cases were solved. Well, before we spend all the time reminiscing, let's get to the murder of Harry Brockton. That happened a few years ago and was one of my last assignments as a sergeant of detectives. Brockton lived on Park Avenue in the 80s. The call came in about 8:30 in the morning. I can't remember now who it was that called police headquarters. You say you phoned police headquarters?
Yes, sir.
You're the butler. What's your name?
Charles, sir. Charles Norton, sir.
How long have you been here?
You mean how long have I served Mr. Brockton, sir? Nearly 10 years, sir.
There's some questions I'd like to ask you. Do you feel able to answer?
Yes.
Your name again. I didn't quite catch it. And where do you live?
My name is Phyllis Mead. I live at the Continental Hotel.
You're dressed to go horseback riding. I take it you had an appointment.
We had arranged to ride through the park. We did it very often. We both loved horses.
You were to meet him at what time?
I was to be here at his home at 8. He would be ready at that time. I arrived just at 8. He always liked everyone to be punctual. I met Charles at the stairs, and we came up together. Charles knocked. When there was no answer, we opened the door and found him like this.
Miss Mead. I've taken the liberty of calling the car to take you home. Sergeant, don't you think Miss Mead should leave now, sir?
Yes, of course. I hope I've not distressed you too much with my questions. It's necessary, of course.
I understand, Sergeant. You've been most considerate.
Well, thank you for your cooperation, Miss Mead.
I've asked Martha to go down with you, ma'am. She's waiting downstairs. No. Shall I take you down?
Thank you, Charles. No. I'll be all right. You stay and help the sergeant.
You didn't see a revolver, did you, Charles?
No, Sergeant. No, I didn't.
No revolver. Looks like he was shot from some little distance. No balconies outside these windows. Nowhere for a murderer to stand. Windows locked. Charles, was Miss Mead engaged to the deceased?
Oh, yes. They were the happy couple, sir. They had the same interests.
Was Miss Mead here last night?
Yeah. She and Mr. Brockton had been to the theater. They came in for a nightcap. He'd asked me to get the car to take her home.
What time was that?
It was about 12:30, I should say. The house phone rang in the quarters. It was Mr. Brockton telling me to get the car.
I see. When they came back here last night, did you let them in?
No. Mr. Brockton had his key, of course.
Of course.
But I saw Miss Mead when she left.
Where?
Well, in the hall downstairs. There's a bell cord. They answered their call.
Well, this was how long after your call from Mr. Brockton to get the car?
Let me see. It was not over 15 minutes. She said she wanted to go home and to bed early because of the early horseback ride in the morning.
Didn't you serve breakfast this morning to Mr. Brockton?
No. They would have breakfast in the tavern in the park.
Of course. Having breakfast at the tavern in the park is part of the early morning ride.
Right, to be sure.
Did you see Mr. Brockton after Miss Mead left?
No, but I talked with him. You see, I should say it was about 15 minutes. Yes, it was exactly that. A news program on TV had just started and was finishing. Yes, it was exactly 15 minutes after Miss Mead left. The phone on the second floor rang. It was Miss Mead. Charles here.
Charles, I just thought, to be on the safe side, will you remind Mr. Brockton of the time of our ride again? Go to his door, just knock. No need to disturb him too much. Make sure he'll be up and ready at 8. You know he's sometimes forgetful.
Right, he is at times. I'll remind him, miss.
Charles. Please do it right now. You're a bit forgetful, too.
I'll do it right this moment, I promise, miss.
I'll just hold the phone. You come back and tell me what he said.
Oh, very well, miss. Hold the wire. It's Miss Mead, sir. She said to remind you to be sure to be up and ready at 8.
I'll be ready. Now go away, Charles. Don't bother me till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Mum, he said he would be ready at 8, so don't worry, Miss Mead. Don't worry. He'll be ready.
I won't worry now, Charles. Thank you.
Back to Gangbusters in just a moment, but first, this message.
I have a message of very great importance for all you men and women who are my age. I want you to tell your mommy that when you trouble with irregularity, you have her give you X-Lax, the chocolated,
honey.
Yes, that's right. You tell them.
Well, mothers, when your youngsters need a laxative, X-Lax does help them toward their normal regularity. Does it gently, overnight. You just give them pleasant-tasting, chocolated X-Lax. Taken at bedtime, X-Lax won't disturb their sleep. Next morning, they're well on their way toward their normal regularity. And X-Lax doesn't rob their systems of the vital nutrition so necessary to their growth and health. You can get X-Lax in 15, 37, and 79-cent sizes. Remember, X-Lax helps you toward your normal regularity. That's X-Lax.
Now back to Gangbusters.
Well, this could have been one of those mysteries where the butler did it. But if Charles did murder Harry Brockton, we couldn't prove it. The Harry Brockton case was almost forgotten, as was the Wilton Denman disappearance. They were playing Macbeth at the old Lyceum.
The boy just called time. There's just 15 minutes before curtain time.
Well, there's still 15 minutes for him to show up, Mrs. Denman.
He's never been late. He's here at least a half hour before curtain time. I just don't know what to think.
You're both great favorites of mine, and I don't like to ask, but does Mr. Denman drink?
Never touches a drop. You've heard he's a devotedly religious man.
I've read some publicity.
It's not publicity. He is sincere. A finer man can't be found in any profession.
Well, your manager thought it would upset you to have a policeman talk to you.
I'm perfectly calm. Our manager is the one who always gets upset. Did he phone the hotel?
Yes, there was no answer. I believe he's asked the understudy to be ready to go on.
Pardon me. I want to talk to the box office. Hello, is this the box office? Please tell everyone that Mr. Denman's understudy will go on tonight. And anybody who wishes their money refunded can get it at the box office. Thank you.
Well, perhaps I should leave you now. It's about time for the curtain. Maybe if I came back after the show, you...
That would be better. He will, I'm sure, come in soon. Even after the show has started. After the first act, or maybe the second. He will come, I know.
I dislike questioning you just before you start the performance, but when did you see him last?
At dinner. He seemed to be all right.
It's after midnight, Miss Denman. You're exhausted, I'm sure. Perhaps I should go.
If there are any more questions, please go on. I need to talk to someone. I can't stand to just be alone to think.
Well, I've questioned everyone I could find here at the hotel. No one saw him leave the hotel.
He could have used the private elevator. He can work it himself. He could have used the silence. There's no doorman.
You lived here at the Continental for several years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is our home. We moved here when we were married 10 years ago. We were both stars. The hotel has fixed this suite of rooms as we wanted it. You see, we are the roof. We can see New York all around us.
It's a beautiful suite. Now, let's see. There are several rooms. This living room, a bedroom, and a dining room.
Not large, but very lovely. The kitchen especially is nice. He liked me to prepare all his meals, and I'd love to do it.
That's an unusual picture there. Life-size.
That's what we call a three sheet in the theater. It's a life-size poster of Wilton as Macbeth. He loved the part so much. So very much.
That was nearly 40 years ago. He never was found. He had disappeared completely. Julia Denman retired from the theater. Retired to her rooftop suite at the Continental Hotel. Now, I wasn't going officially, but since the hotel was being torn down, it did give me an excuse to call on Phyllis Mead and Julia Denman socially.
Back to Gangbusters in just a moment, but first, this message. The label is the key to vitamin value. Let's take one simple example. Suppose you use vitamin A. You know that you can choose from many brands, and you know that vitamin A has the same purity regardless of brand because quality is standardized by government regulations. But here is one point you may not know. When you buy the same vitamin A direct from Hudson, the way that doctors and nurses do, you can save over 50%. Here are the facts. Vitamin A, 25,000 USP units, sell for an average of $4.10 per 100. Hudson's price is only $1. Now, this is only one example. The free catalog lists many vitamin values. Write to Hudson Vitamins, Department 66, Mutual Broadcasting, New York 18, New York, for the free Hudson Vitamin catalog and discover vitamin savings of up to 50% and even more. All vitamins sold with a money-back guarantee. Nothing to buy, no one will call. The free catalog is yours for the asking. Write to Hudson Vitamins, Department 66, Mutual Broadcasting, New York 18, New York. Now back to Gangbusters.
I looked up Charles, the butler, to Harry Brock.
You know, sir, I was under the impression that the case was closed.
Well, no case is ever closed until it's solved. Now, Charles, this is not official. I'm retired. I thought I'd call on Phyllis Mead socially. I'd like to have you come along.
No, I didn't kill Mr. Brock.
I didn't say you did. But you should be interested in finding out who did kill Harry Brockton. We'll have to climb the stairs. Manager says hotel service has stopped.
Hey, you know, this was a glorious, glorious old hotel. They're auctioning off the furnishings. You know, there's one thing I'd like to buy.
One of these old paintings?
Oh, no, no. One of those big brass cuspidors they used to have in the barroom there.
And the fifth floor, they said, from Miss Mead's suite. Number 10. Down this way, Charles.
Ah.
Yeah, here it is. She must be in. The manager said she hasn't been seen to leave her rooms for weeks. If the door is locked, perhaps we can get a key. What? It's open. That's strange. Let's go in, Charles. Doesn't seem to be anyone here in the living room. Miss Mead? Miss Mead?
Yes. That door over there. That could be the bedroom, sir.
Miss Mead, are you in there?
Do you think we should go in, sir?
I have a hunch we should.
Sergeant, look. There she is on the bed.
I'll send for the medical examiner. However, I'd say she's been dead for 2 or 3 days at least. The gun in her hand is a .38.
Sergeant, here. Look at this. It's a note I found on top of this tight recorder, I think it's called.
Yeah? To whomever finds my body, please snap the switch that turns on this tape recorder.
Here's the switch, I think.
I want this to be my statement to the police so that the case of Harry Brockton can be marked closed. The gun I have used to take my own life is the one I used to kill the man I loved. Why did I kill him? Simply because I didn't want anyone else to have him. He told me that evening that we were through. This recorder was in his room.
I made him, at the point of this gun, record what Charles, the butler, heard. Here's the original tape with his voice. Listen.
I'll be ready. Now go away, Charles, and don't bother me till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, that's the voice I heard.
That's his voice, Charles heard. And that short bit of his voice was all I've had these past 5 years. I started the tape recorder when I left this house. There was 15 minutes of blank tape so that I could call back to Charles.
Well, that's the one thing that stuck with me, Charles. You said it was exactly 15 minutes from the time she left and her call back to you.
Right, right. There had to be an exact amount of time so the tape recorder could come to the recorded voice.
Well, that's the one thing that stuck with me and the reason why I never suspected you, Charles. She called back and insisted on you coming back to the phone to assure her that you had talked to Brockton.
Right.
To establish with you as a witness that he was alive when she left.
Why, this... You know, Sergeant, this could have been the perfect crime.
Except for one thing. This hotel is to be torn down. Something always happens to show up the criminal. I'll have to phone headquarters. One case solved. And now alone, I climb the stairs to the top floor, to the penthouse suite of Julia Denman.
Who is it?
Sergeant Dolan of the police, Miss Denman.
Sergeant Dolan, come in, please. Sergeant Dolan, so nice of you to call. It's been a long time since we talked, Sergeant. Please be seated.
Miss Denman, I'm flattered you remembered me.
I could hardly forget the circumstances of the night I met you, Sergeant.
Yes, I remember so well this room. Nothing seems changed.
I have changed.
In my eyes, you have not changed.
How nice of you to say so. However, you and my middle do not agree.
You're perhaps wondering why I've called.
No. I've been expecting the police. They must have an answer to the great mystery. It was a great many years ago. By now, everyone has forgotten. But now this hotel is to be a thing of the past. We must leave. This home must be torn apart. The time has come. These 40 years, Sergeant, have done what only time can do. It cures all ills. Do you see that picture there?
Yes. It's a life-size portrait of Macbeth.
Wilton Denman as Macbeth. That large picture has made him seem to be with me as he was then. Will you remove the scarf from it?
Well, it's a phonograph.
A very old one, as is this record. Will you listen? He will talk with us. Listen.
Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I am not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight, or art thou but the dagger of the mind, a false creation, proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain?
Oh, that... That made it seem as if he were alive and in this very room. He could look at that life-size picture and hear his voice.
He is alive and in this room. Oh, don't look at me as if I were mad. He's here, helplessly, hopelessly mad, hopelessly insane from the night he did not appear for the performance of Macbeth. 40 years ago.
He's alive, you say?
Alive in body, but dead in mind. Why did I not tell the world he was insane? Why? Was it not enough that his mind was dead?
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth doth murder sleep. Sleep and
lifts up the rattles. Now, lie back that picture. That life-size picture. gone. Look behind it.
What a darkened room behind the picture.
There's light enough to see him.
Why, it's Wilton Denman.
Come, my lord. Your queen awaits to care for you.
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time, for from this instant there's nothing serious in mortality. All is but toys. The wine of life is drawn, and the mere leaf is left. There's moth to drag.
To always care for you until the end.
Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more.
Those two cases have now been marked solved and the record closed.
Tonight's Gangbusters was brought to you over the Mutual Network by the Kraft Foods Company, who bring you that very special cheese, Cracker Barrel brand natural cheddar. Chocolated X-Lax, America's largest selling laxative, and Hudson Vitamin products. For your free money-saving catalog, write to Hudson Vitamins, Department 66, Mutual Broadcasting, New York 18. Featured in tonight's case were Jerry Archer, June St. Aubrey, Lawson Zerby, and George Spelvin. Bill Maher speaking for Gangbusters and inviting you to tune in at the same time on Friday night to David Harding, Counter Spy, and on Tuesday nights to Treasury Agent. Gangbusters is produced and directed in New York. This is Mutual, the world's largest network.
Gangbusters, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 9th, 1958 on the Mutual Network. And that closes out this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. It's been a pleasure.